Good morning, I'm Krista Cook, and it's time for Organize Anything with Colette Robichaux, the organizing coach. Good morning, Colette.
Good morning, Krista. It's great to see you again.
Thank you. Today we are going to talk about getting organized, and getting organized for the health of it.
That's right.
Very, very important.
We're going to talk about the health side of getting organized, and we all know there are many great reasons to get organized, but often people don't know that their disorganization could actually keep them sick or make them sick or cause injury.
Of course, because it's almost so obvious they don't see it. Is that the case?
Well, there are some things that are more obvious than others, and there's some things a little subtle, and we'll talk about a bit of that today.
What are the health benefits of getting organized? I mean, obviously for the health benefits, but with that comes a whole change in your life.
Oh, for sure. And if we sort of go big picture, a topic that's familiar with everyone, it's stress, the stress of everyday life, which is so great, which is a real influencer on so many illnesses, or a multiplier, I guess, on how we feel or how it progresses illnesses. We really want to take that stress out. And often by getting organized, we can get some of that stress out, and that alleviates, you know, a lot of the pressure that of some of the things that make us sick. Also, by being better organized, if we are already sick, we can, you know, learn to simplify our lives and sort of reduce the energy output that we have on a regular basis. I'm, you know, often called into people's homes to make them healthier if they have some lung or respiratory issues. We look around the house and sort of simplify areas that would allow them to collect less dust, or if someone was injured, things that people might trip over. If someone doesn't have the mobility, they shouldn't be reaching their arms over their head. Well, let's get the things you use every day conveniently on the counter, or how to dress without lifting up with those articles of clothing and things like that. So it can really incorporate a lot of our lives that we just think, oh, well, I always had my house this way when I was 30 or 40 or 50, and it should continue in the same way. Well, by organizing our home and our routines a little bit differently, we can maintain our health a little bit better.
Now, when you say that, should we go through different rooms of our house?
That's not a bad way to think about it. Let's just, you know, start with the bathroom and say, well, you know, how do we get organized for our health there? Medicine cabinet, if you think about that.
Yes, everyone has
one. Oh, gosh, that's sort of like hidden treasures in there. Some of the things that we've seen and, you know, in my company going in and assisting people, some of the dates. And really, if we just talk about storing medication sometimes in a hot place, if you have a lot of people, you know, showering and doing their thing and blow drying and the lights are on in there, that temperature is not right for any medication. So the actual term medicine cabinet is not a really good way to think of it. Our medications are supposed to be stored in a dry and cool place. And most of us don't describe our bathrooms in that way.
Definitely not.
Yeah. So if we just start looking at that, if we, you know, really do an audit of our medicine cabinet and really, you know, get a lot of those things out, check the dates, not just for prescribed medications, but also for our over-the-counter medications
as
well.
Oh my gosh, yes. Just your cold and flu and your sinus.
All of those things. You know, I've seen tablets that are disintegrating and people still wanting to take them. So let those go. And don't forget the appropriate way to dispose of those today. Return them to your pharmacy, and they have a way that is environmentally more friendly to dispose of. So think about that. Also think of the rest of the bathroom, you know, the lovely little rugs that we put down, you know, even, you know, to step our toes out or in front of the toilet sometimes. Mm-hmm. Those are things that we can trip over. And maybe in our younger years, we didn't trip over things as much, or maybe without an injury. I know when I had my knee done, a lot of those little things became more of a problem than before. So look around and take a peek at that. Think about, you know, sort of those electrical devices that are floating around. The cords that you have, would they be better collected in a hamper? Would it be better for you to actually remove some of those routines that you do in the bathroom and have them happen in another room, in a spare room, in something like that? Does that free up the routine that people are happier and less stressed in the morning because they're not all crammed and looking for that bathroom? And don't forget, you know, the slips and falls in the tub.
Oh my gosh, and that's just those anti-slip rugs. Every household really needs one. I mean, it really just is so critical. Or even, you know, I suppose we in our house don't have any necessity to have one of the bars, like the assistant
grab bars.
Yeah. But I have thought many different times, whether you have the flu, whether you've been soaking in the tub and, you know, you're not feeling, you're weak, or whatever.
Really? Well, Krista, I just finished a renovation of my bathroom and took it down to the studs. I live in a home that's about 100 years old, and finally have this bathroom renovated. And I put the grab bar in that renovation. And I had friends say, why are you putting that in now? And it's like, well, you know, for resale value, for whatever. But I am using that. I am practicing good bathroom, you know, movements around in the tub and using it, and it doesn't hurt. And that's the whole thing. We want to create some of those routines and practice some of those safety routines long before you maybe need them. So that's the sort of think about. So, you know, think about it, that in there, you know, the extra steam and the humidity creating the mold is another issue that if you don't keep on top of it, that mold is a very dangerous issue to deal with. And that's something that, you know, if there's not a lot of people around, leave the door open even. I mean, buy the best fan that you can, have it on, use it, but even leaving the door open, it's good to keep the mold off. And of course, cleaning regularly with any of our surfaces keeps a lot of those extra bugs and things around, washing our hands regularly, all of that. And even remembering to change your towels appropriately and washing them in hot water as well, which is something that we got out of a little bit with some of our linens and things because of some of the environment and wanting to save power financially as well. But there are certain things that it pays to really health-wise wash in a hotter water.
Now, we take our bathroom. Let's move on to the kitchen.
Okay.
Now, the kitchen, I think a lot of what you said for the bathroom would apply to the kitchen as well in terms of the, I guess not so much from a perspective of steam, unless you're really, really cooking from morning to night.
Boiling some of those soups and getting those, you know, things going, it might be, but not as big of an issue there. Usually it's a more open space, but some of the key things there, of course, fire issues come into place a little bit. And if it's not a fire, a lot of people are leaving burners on, you know, or leaving the oven on, and this can happen, or turning the oven on without checking, and they had hidden dishes in there, or the platter is in there from before, or things like that. So one of the techniques that is suggested, that whenever your stove is on and you have either a burner on or the oven on, to also turn the overhead light on. And it's a habit to get into. The overhead light is on when any of the burners are on. When those are turned off, you turn out the overhead light. So even if you're walking by, you might not see that burner is on a four or lower thing and still element still on a lower temperature, you know, the light goes on, I'm cooking, something's on. When I turn everything off, then the light goes off. So you have a visual cue to remind you that this is on. I started doing this a couple of years ago. You know, we will all have memory loss at some point. We all start to forget. On a bad day, we have more memory loss than others, whether we're aging or not. Mm-hmm. So why not create these habits and routines and linkages when we are still capable of thinking them through, and what can we do as a reminder?
My goodness, the transition is so smooth. And it's part of sort of being proactive.
Absolutely. Yeah. So setting up something like that. So that's the main thing there. Whether you're catching a fire or not, it's very easy for us to you know, burn ourselves on that sort of thing. Another habit in the kitchen that I see happening regularly is that people sit stuff on the stove that really shouldn't be there. And, you know, so they think, oh, I'll just rest it there for a minute. Or they have things that are too close and things get edged in, and that becomes a big issue. I've seen a lot with the, you know, the tea kettles. If you have someone visiting, they think it's not one of those tea kettles that turns on and goes on automatically, and they've actually set them on the stove, you know, and things like that, because you know maybe they forget, or maybe you have someone visiting or something like that, or you just got a new kettle and you're not remembering. So different things happen with that. So in the kitchen, that's an issue. Knives, and you know, cutting improperly with that, maybe not having them as sharp as you could. They're, you know, remember, get organized for the health of it and get your knives in to be sharpening. A lot of the stores provide workshops once a year or somewhere where you can take your knives in, but there are places that will do that.
Gosh,
so, you know, how to keep your utensils and things up to date and using them the way they should be used.
Let's move on to bedroom.
Bedroom. Well, this is the room that we spend the majority of our time in. And so if you're starting in the house as an area to get ready to get healthier, this is a great place to start. We spend so much time there, and, you know, a lot of it may be asleep, but we're still breathing. And breathing today, the majority of us have allergies or sensitivities. Whether we know it or not, most of us are sensitive to dust. So if we are sensitive to dust, one of the first things that you do, if you look at any anything from our lung association or any of the sort of respiratory illnesses that we might have and get advice on, that we want to eliminate some of the extra soft furnishings in that room. Well, we all want soft things like blankets and things, yes, you know, on our bed. But think about where else we could do some of that elimination. So if you had a child or a person with asthma, you might look to the stuffed toys or some of that extra, you know, sort of soft animals and things, yes, like that. And it might not just be a child. There are lots of adults that, you know, have lots of things like stuffed animals around. But one of the big things also for adults is lots of those extra pillows. And a lot of times those extra pillows aren't getting laundered. And they're not getting laundered, but they're getting dusty. They're coming off the bed, and that dust is really being stirred up before you get to bed. You crawl in, and that dust is settling back down on your face and going back in your lungs. So again, you don't have to even have a major sensitivity, but anything that sort of lessens your immune system like that, you'll be more prone to some other things. So by getting the dust out, we spoke earlier about washing your linens in a hot water. That kills dust mites and things like that. So you want to be really careful. Bed bugs is a whole other issue we won't bother getting into. That's a big issue, and there's a whole other set of protocols for that. But again, you know, being aware and looking and cognizant that this is an issue out there, and it doesn't matter, you know, how clean you are or not. People are picking them up in hotel rooms and theaters and all kinds of places. So just be looking for that. And one of the first protocols there is sort of to eliminate the stuff that's around. So be looking for that, the hot water wash. But other things that for your bedroom that's important too is, again, not to trip. Those little rugs that we might have laying around, things that could be on the floor. A lot of times we take our clothes off and drop them on the floor. Yeah. And I'll be honest, about 30 years ago, in my nice tidy room as a rather young person, I had a nice slip on a floor and actually fractured my nose. So it's something that can happen at any age, and taught me a little lesson. I had what happened there, which is something for us to think about as well. Sometimes we don't always have overhead lights, and you have the switch that hits the light beside the bed. Yes. So if you turn the light off, and that's what happened to me, the light was off. I slipped on some clothes that were on the floor that were piled over some shoes, and I actually slipped and on the parquet floor and went in an apartment I lived years ago and sort of hit my nose. So this can happen at any age, and they're, you know, you may call them a freak accident, but a lot of our accidents are indeed preventable.
Now, it's one thing to talk about the bedrooms, but what about the closets in the bedrooms?
Well, to start off with, to be a little healthier and happier and stress-free, we can arrange our closets to make all that happen. I have a lot of clients that I go and do a little closet rehab with, so, you know...
I think every woman needs a little closet rehab.
And women and men. And the things to think about there is that let's make the closet usable to what we do every day. And the things we need the most need to be closest. So I've got people in their closets that what's there are two sizes ago, and they're roaming through to find something that they can wear now. Or, you know, they're retiring and all the work clothes from their previous job are in there, when actually now they're doing a lot of gardening, a lot of golf, and that's not easy to access. So really take a look at what's in the closet and think about what your activities are now, because that stress that's caused by looking and rooting around and how accessible is it? You know, we get that standard one bar that goes across. And, you know, I have clients that are 4 foot nothing. And as we age, we get a little shorter as well.
Yeah.
And even that reach up is a bit of an effort. If you've had any heart disease or anything coming from that, you're not supposed to reach overhead. So we want to make sure those clothes are accessible. You can put them on hooks on the door. You can lower things. And there's double hang products that take from that high bar to lower. So you can easily grab if you've got any frozen shoulder issues or things like that, that would make it easier for you to get to.
Great ideas. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.